today I have the fabulous Andrea back with us to teach us more things.
I'm back to teach.
These are my faves because I think that you're so knowledgeable about these kind of things. So today we're going to talk about the effects of trauma on your nervous system. I suffer from complex PTSD, as I've mentioned many times. And I eventually developed something called somatoform, which I was diagnosed with like later on. I didn't know what was happening with me for probably years. Mm-hmm. And I finally went into the hospital in Vancouver and was like sat with a psychiatrist and we like went through what all my symptoms were. And it was really scary at first. I felt like my body was reacting to every thought I have. Mm-hmm. It still does, but it's a lot easier to deal with sober. Obviously, like, when I'm having bad thoughts or bad feelings, like, my body starts to react. And so it's one of those weird things where it's, like, sometimes I know I'm causing it mm-hmm. because I'm stressing out. And I'm like, shit, like, how do I stop? But, I mean, it's just one of those things that I'm learning to live with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really cool that you want to talk about this today because mm-hmm. this is a huge thing and it has a huge impact on people's lives.
It does. And so when you say your body, do you mean like involuntary muscle spasms?
Involuntary like everything.
Everything. Okay.
So like I will accidentally finger people on the street. Like my body, my hands will move mm-hmm. involuntarily. I'll feel pain, a lot of pain, mm-hmm. Different places, different times, different things.
Yeah.
My tongue sometimes will go to this one side of the other side.
Interesting.
Involuntarily. It's really frustrating.
Hmm.
But it's just one of those things. Like, at first I was like, am I schizophrenic?
Yeah.
But
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. But I was, you know, I was 31 when this started. So it was right after my breakdown. Mm-hmm. So it was like basically my body and my mind was under so much stress and pressure mm-hmm. that it just like
started expressing it in special ways.
It's not like express yourself. It's like, oh, body calm, please. Calm. Maya, calm, please.
Yeah.
So
you're even more advanced and special than what we're going to talk about.
Which is amazing. Relevant. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk about what you're going to talk about.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought up the complex PTSD thing because I think this stuff, like through my research and learning about it, I think it's bit more relevant to complex PTSD,
yeah,
where there is a lot more of like nervous system involvement and limbic system involvement. So like we have many parts of the brain, but we have the reptilian brain, which is like breathing, heartbeat,
I've heard about
motor
the reptile
function
brain, yeah.
And then we have the limbic system, which is like kind of right above it and in front. And that's where the amygdala is, the lovely amygdala. We probably learned about that in treatment. It's like your alarm bell for your...
Okay, mine's always on fuego.
It's always on red alert, so that's kind of part of this, right?
Yeah.
So then we have our limbic system, which is like emotions, but it's like pre-conscious, pre-thought. Mm-hmm. And then we have our prefrontal cortex, which is where we like think and make decisions and make choice. And so with PTSD, a lot of the symptoms are like flashbacks, and there are similar with PTSD and complex PTSD, but I think where a lot of the research on the impact to the nervous system and kind of a progressive dysregulation to your body, your nervous system, and your amygdala comes with complex PTSD because it's constant traumas, mm-hmm. and so your brain and body are trying to like accommodate and anticipate, and so your alarm bell gets really sensitive. And so basically we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about the nervous system. So the part of the nervous system, we have the parasympathetic nervous system, which is not your brain and spinal cord, it's the other one. And there's two. One is the somatic, but it's not like what you're, well, I guess it would
is
be.
It is exactly,
it would be, it's like your muscles and nerves and stuff like that. And then there's the autonomic nervous system, and that's into two branches, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic.
Okay.
So the sympathetic is when that's the nervous system part that gets activated when we feel anxious. Mm-hmm. That's like the fight or flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we get like the adrenaline burst and the dilated pupils and your muscles are engaged. That's that part. And then you have the parasympathetic, which mm-hmm. is also called the rest and digest, and that's the calming one.
Mm-hmm.
So one kicks up, one calms down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the fight or flight responses that everyone has. This isn't like a trauma specific thing.
Totally.
Everyone has this, and we go in and out of it throughout our days. Like if you are about to miss the bus, you might kick into your sympathetic nervous system and get kind of panicked, and then a normal, healthy nervous system, unaffected by trauma, will quickly come back down. The parasympathetic will do its thing. It'll kick it back into rest, and then you're in kind of a very happy undulation of chilling, right?
I know,
that's
right?
A normal nervous system. And so one of the fight or flight responses that a lot of people, we don't talk about as much, is the freeze response.
Oh, it is a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's when basically
you shut down.
You shut down. Your nervous system perceives that you are in so much danger that fighting or fleeing or fawning aren't really going to cut it.
Yeah.
And so it's more the freeze. It's a shutdown. It's like play dead.
I've had a lot of people that I've talked to that have had a sexual experience like that, like trauma in that respect. Like that happens to them where they thought they would fight and they just freeze. They just don't even know what to do. Like it's that scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's,
and that's it. It's an unconscious survival response.
Yeah.
You don't choose it.
Yeah.
Right. And so when your nervous system keeps getting blasted with being activated all the time, eventually it goes into, it's almost like a collapse. Yeah. And so it'll go into freeze. Right.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about trauma and the impact on the nervous system, when you brought up complex PTSD, when it's like over and over and over again, your nervous system stops having kind of that nice window of tolerance where it can bounce in and out of feeling activated and then de-escalated, and it gets stuck. Like when people talk about, oh, trauma gets stuck in the body, I think that conjures up an inaccurate picture where it's just like chilling in a lump in your body.
Yeah.
That's not really
sometimes
what it
I
means.
Feel like it is.
Yeah. Maybe for you.
Sometimes
maybe for
like,
you.
Oh,
this
God,
is a metaphor.
It's like my ghost.
Yeah. Totally. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Like as a metaphor.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like it's like living in there.
Totally.
What they mean when it's stuck in your body, it's more of a, it's almost like a, it's a dysfunction of that window of tolerance and the ability to easily move in and out, to where you have less bandwidth to bounce back, and it becomes almost like stuck.
Yeah.
Right? And so often people will either have it stuck in overdrive where they'll feel chronically anxious.
Yeah.
Or they'll vacillate in between anxious and then like numb, shut down, disassociated. Have you ever had an experience where you're, like, in high anxiety?
Like, I am, like, disassociation queen.
Oh, there you go.
Like, I cannot, like, stay focused and, like, in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm, like, Don Draper on steroids. Like, it is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, like, focus, stay present. I'm,
and
don't
you just
go down
disappear.
The rabbit hole.
Yeah,
yeah. Completely. Like, I had to do it for years, like, growing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, like, now it's trying to come back down to reality. It's
mm-hmm.
really hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really annoying. Like, it's like ADD and I have disassociation stuff where I'm like, like,
and it's hard to get out of.
It's really hard to get out of.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, everything therapists have ever told me, like, once, I always call it going down like a black hole spiral.
Totally.
Because I can notice myself going into it. And then once I'm there, I can't get out.
It's hard.
It's really hard. I find it's easier to come down from a state of being activated.
Yeah.
Like anxiety, it's easier to calm. It's harder to pull out of a disassociated state.
Yeah.
So the fancy words are hyperarousal and hypoarousal.
Hypo, okay.
So basically, I guess why I'm talking about this is, I know it's been my experience that I didn't know that I had complex PTSD. I kind of knew a lot of bad things had happened, but I didn't really, I'd never been diagnosed until later on in life.
Yeah. I totally had that where I was like, this won't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. And then I feel like the drug addiction kind of obscured it. And it was like, let's look at this flaming piece of garbage. And it didn't really get unveiled until that got
checked. I was saying
that
in my head today where it's like, sometimes it feels like Platoon in my head. Like, I'm like, oh my God, Maya, like, stop.
You say that a lot out loud. Like, stop.
I know, because I have to like check myself.
Yeah. That's a good way of like externalizing
it
though.
Stop.
Yeah. I like that. But I think, like, people, complex PTSD is only, like, kind of more recently been given acknowledgement, whereas PTSD was more so just looked at.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think for people with complex PTSD, because it's, like I said, a repetition and it's constant beatings to your limbic system, cognitive system, nervous system, it's a little less simple to treat. And so where PTSD might benefit from a lot of cognitive therapies and talk therapies, kind of working through, like, if you have internalized guilt about it, or you have, you know, negative cognitions about the world, or you feel unsafe, like, yes, that's all good. And kind of the new wave of therapies around complex trauma specifically are what are called bottom-up processing therapies. So it's starting at a level below your consciousness. So it's not as much about the verbal, and it's more about body. So, like, somatic therapy, EMDR would also be one.
Yeah.
Even like yoga. Like, yoga, if you don't have any money and you have a really dysregulated nervous system, yoga is a really good thing.
I'm doing a hot yoga class tomorrow for the first time in a billion years. So I'm just trying all of it right now. Just to, like, calm down. I had a massage. I haven't had a massage
That's another
in like
good
12
one.
Years. And I was like, okay, I actually had a relaxing moment. It was really nice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing that more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's and it's perfect. It's got, like, the physical touch of, like, co-regulation.
Yeah.
And it's also allowing you to, like, be present and calm. But yeah, so they're kind of more, there's more of a focus. And actually, I went to a treatment center and not knowing any of this bottom-up processing. And I remember being like, are we going to do some fucking therapy? Because they just had me doing, like, art and music therapy and planting plants. And I was like, this is not helping. Therapy.
No.
This is what, like, when are we going to talk about what happened to me? And they were like, eh, it's not really how we do things. And so it's literally, it goes, like, in reverse. So we start with stabilizing and regulating your body without words.
Yeah.
And then kind of allowing you to explore the thoughts deeper later on.
Yeah.
Right? So that's sort of the
cool.
model. Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So it sounded to be, like, quite helpful, especially for complex PTSD.
Okay.
And so where are we at for time?
Oh, we are great
We're
for time.
Great? Okay.
We're, like, halfway there.
Okay, cool. Okay. Okay, do you have any thoughts? I speak quickly. So
I know you do.
I do.
Do I have any thoughts?
This kills me for presentations.
No, but it's cool. I think, it is. It's really interesting. Like, and I do find that now, especially when I do have PTSD, like, this has been a rough winter for me. And so when I do have those, and I've been having them quite a bit lately, when I do have those days where I just, like, cannot focus, I'm spiraling, I'm just out of control.
Yeah.
It's like, I do find doing things. Like, I was feeling that way a couple days ago. And just making, like, a meal, just, like, getting out of my head for 2 seconds. I did my friend's hair a couple days before that. And it was, like, really helpful to just, like, do something with my hands. Like, I felt like doing that instead of sitting with this, like, tension and anxiousness and all that stuff. Like, I really think that not only just seeing people doing something, like, doing something that gets you out of your, like, your cognition for a little bit can be really helpful for me anyways. And, like, focus on something, like, directly in front of you. Like, making your bed, like, just folding your laundry. Just take a second and really just slow down and focus on, like, something else rather than the things that are hurting you in your brain. Because really that's what it is. It's like you're hurting yourself in your brain and it's so hard to stop. And you don't even know how to sometimes because it's not an easy thing to get out of a spiral.
No, it's not.
No.
You're right. I like that you brought up folding laundry because you can totally make that into, like, anything repetitive that is a focus task with your hands, you can make into, like, a mindfulness practice,
Completely.
Right? So that works. And then you talked about, like, using your body to kind of just do something physical. And
something
I know exercise
physical.
Really helps you.
It really helps me.
Yeah.
Like, it sometimes if the only time I have to get out of my craziness is the gym, like, just lifting weights, like, count it out. Just count it out. Trying to stay present, just do something that is, you know, using your body in some other way than just what you're, like, it's not paranoia, but it is this anxiousness that you can't stop. Like, it can be really good to just help you slow down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like for both, so, like, coming into skills. Mm-hmm. It's a bit hard. So like we said kind of earlier, getting out of an anxious state, I feel like a lot of people have heard those skills, and we talk about that a lot. Like, yeah. Okay, you're feeling incredible panic.
Yeah.
What do? You do box breathing, right? Yeah. You take a moment, you do the five senses activity.
Totally.
Meditation, which obviously doesn't work when you're in panic. Meditation is something you have to cultivate while you're calm.
Yeah.
Which nobody talks about. You don't go to meditation when you're like at a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
But I think we talk about those things a lot. However, the more disassociative route,
yeah,
we don't talk about that one as much. And so something I was going to bring up and they decided not to, but I'm going to bring it up anyway.
Please do.
So there is a theory called polyvagal theory. And I was just telling Maya that before doing this podcast today, I was doing a little bit more research. And there is, it's not discredited, but there is some, it's a theory. It's a theory. Okay. It doesn't have hard, like fine-tuned science from like a neuroscience and evolutionary perspective. Regardless, the techniques are really valuable. And they basically talk about this kind of nervous system model that I'm talking about. And then he adds the importance of the vagus nerve, which I won't get into. But basically, it is part of your parasympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
And he talks about there being a three-pronged nervous system where the part in between when you're hyper aroused and disassociated is social engagement, which is where we laugh, it's where we connect, it's where we love.
Yeah.
And that's where we do our best living, basically.
It's true, though.
It is true. And so I think, so that's all real. I think just maybe some of his science, you know how scientists are, they're all arrogant. And,
sometimes you don't have the stuff to back it up.
Exactly. Yeah. But like his theory has so much value, especially in like a therapeutic setting.
From a social science perspective, mm-hmm. completely.
And so one of the things, he has several things that he talks about to get out of a hypo, like disassociated state. And one is doing a butterfly tap, hug, or even just like holding yourself.
That's what they've taught me.
Hand on your heart. Yeah.
Yeah. With the somatoform, just like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's kind of the science behind like the bilateral stimulation of EMDR.
Totally.
So that does have science behind it, and it does help you and calm you.
Yeah.
One of the weird things he suggests is when you're disassociated is to do, there's a certain tone.
Okay.
He calls it a vagal tone, and it's like going woo, woo, and you make that sound.
Interesting.
And it's supposed to stimulate your vagus nerve to take you out of that shutdown state. And then other things that help are like laughing and co-regulation are big ones.
Well, I feel like laughter for me is like, has pretty much saved me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
really?
Oh yeah. Like I honestly, like when I'm in a really bad place, like sometimes I just have to start making fun of myself.
Yeah.
And if I like start making jokes, even if it's at my own expense, which mm-hmm. most of my jokes are, it is like, it will really just like help me get out of it for a mm-hmm. second. I'm like, okay, I got to make some jokes right now because like this is getting too intense. And it really is like, I patch Adams myself hard. Like I have to.
Yeah.
Because it's like my sense of humor has like saved my life.
Like, but it's actually the like reverberation of laughing which that's doing that it. Isn't that cool?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah.
One thing I found like, I disassociate mostly in romantic sexual settings. That's usually
which
where
I
shut down.
Yeah. Because of like what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, so that's usually my go-to.
Yeah.
And when I spiral and I go down into the like dark hole that I talk about, I have found the most helpful thing for me is that I have told my partner ahead of time, hey, when this happens, do this, because I can't ask for it. A big part of disassociating is you often struggle to make words because your cognitive part's kind of offline.
Yeah.
And so I find myself, I feel like I'm small and I'm shrinking and I can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've asked him to do is to just like hold me
mm-hmm.
and like tight, like squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually usually helps me get out of it.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Like I've seen, I know of other people in my family and mm-hmm. not in my family when I can tell that they're in that place. when like they're PTSD'd out, like they, they're disassociated. I'm like, oh my God, I know the feeling, and I just kind of wait for it's like them for them to come out of it sometimes, because it's like you don't want to bring attention to it,
yeah,
and you don't want to like embarrass anybody, you don't want to do. But I'm like, I know where you're at right now, and I'm like, okay. I'm like,
yeah, you can tell. People have like a vacant stare.
It's like you, it's, you know that, you know, some people zone out and they're like thinking about really good things and they're like, yeah, I'm on a beach somewhere. It's really wonderful. It's like, you know that that's not what they're thinking about. you're like, oh, you're hurting right now.
You're hurting. I fucking
feel you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's hard. It's really hard.
It is.
Yeah. But I understand it because I live with it. So it's, yeah, it's one of those things.
It is one of those things.
But it's nice. It's nice that there are tools. Like I don't think like I had some really bad stuff like the last 2 weeks or so, and I realized I was like, I am so grateful I'm sober right now.
Mm-hmm.
It made me really grateful to be sober because I was like, oh, you would be freaking the F out,
yeah,
if you were trying to smoke pot and get through this. Or, right?
Yeah.
Or like drinking or anything. Like if I was drinking, I would just probably go even lower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to get yourself out of it or like cope with it a little bit better because you know what's going on.
Yeah.
And you're not just trying to bury it because, I mean, the burying is why it's still there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
If I just started addressing this a little earlier, maybe it would have been a little bit easier.
Yeah. But isn't that interesting though? That like drugs they work for it.
They don't work forever.
But
not long term. Yeah. Like I was literally like that Vietnam vet that just smoked pot for like constantly all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize why I was crutching so badly on it. Mm. Now looking back, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Cause you peel it away. You're like, oh.
Cause I couldn't deal with reality.
Yeah. Like, gaping wound.
Completely. Just like way worse than I thought I was. Well, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome.
And thank you for all the knowledge that you just dropped on us.
I try.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thank you.
I hope it was helpful.
It was so helpful. It was helpful for me. So I hope it was helpful for everyone out there. Thank you so much. Have a great night.